Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
So we're in the middle of a series where we are asking one simple question, and this is the question: what makes you happy? We're asking that question because it drives the vast majority of what we do in life, whether we realize it or not. Most of our decisions are driven by what we think will satisfy us, what we think will make our lives better, what we think will make us happy. And we're right in the middle of this series. We've done 2 weeks. Today is week three, and we'll finish up next week. And here's where we've landed for the first 2 weeks. Here's what we believe the answer to that question should be. We believe that the pursuit of holiness is the path to happiness. Now, I understand if you're a guest today that you don't agree with that yet, and you shouldn't agree with that. That'd be weird for you to just walk in and immediately have your mind changed. I totally understand that. But for 2 weeks, we have really tried to explain why we believe this to be the case. Now, rather than me being able to go back and redo it all over again, what I'd encourage you to do, if what you hear today is intriguing and you want to know more about it, you can visit this website. You can go to wellspringchurch.tv/whatmakesyouhappy. We've got all the content there, and you can check it out and you can figure it out, because we are serious about this idea that the pursuit of holiness really is the path to happiness. It's what we believe from the bottom of our hearts. And last week, we sort of answered an objection many people have to this idea. Because when you talk about holiness, when you talk about church, most people hear rules. Most people hear restrictions. Most people hear what they can and cannot do, and it's hard for you to understand how rules can make you happy. And so last week, we dove right into that idea, and here's what we discovered. We discovered that holiness isn't a pursuit of rules. It's the pursuit of a person. The entire reason we meet in this place, the reason we sing songs, the reason I teach, the reason we do everything isn't so that we can get a key of to-do list items for our life. It's so that we can reconnect with our Heavenly Father. And that reconnection happens through Jesus. And last week we really talked about that the pursuit of holiness isn't walking through life with a checklist and a contract. The pursuit of holiness is taking the hand of your gracious, loving Heavenly Father. As he says here, walk with me through life. I want to help you avoid some problems. I want to help you avoid some tricks. I want to help you avoid some traps. This is what we talked about last week, that we have an enemy, Satan, who wants to trick us, who wants to trap us, who wants to convince us to do things that will harm us. And so Jesus comes along and he says, no, you don't have to do that anymore. I want to walk with you. I want to help protect you. That guilt, shame, and regret you have in your life, if you follow me, I can make sure you don't have that anymore. I can set you free from those things. And we truly do believe that that is the path to happiness, to take God's hand and to walk with him through life, to pursue his purposes, to follow his principles, and to let him lead you to better. So for 2 weeks, we have talked about this big picture, macro level. And so today and next week, we're going to make kind of a shift. And rather than talking about this in the big picture, as we've been talking about, we're going to stop down on two very controversial topics, which that's what we love to do here at Wellspring. We want to talk about two very specific areas where I believe we have been fed some of the biggest lies of our life, some of the biggest traps, which means that to be set free from the things, God's got to do some of the most extreme things he does. God's got to really help break us out of patterns and put us on a path towards better and on a path to happy. So what I want to do, like I said, we're going to talk about two very specific issues, one this week, one next week, but we're talking about it in the sense of, here's the conceit we talked about for the last 2 weeks. The conceit is this: we've been lied to. We've been lied to, we've been tricked, we've been trapped. Satan is trying to lure us into destruction, and Jesus wants to guide us away from that and set us free. So that's what I want to talk about for this week and next week, how we've been lied to. This week specifically, how have we been lied to when it comes to everyone's favorite topic in church, money? And you're like, oh, come on. Man, I was this close to not coming. It's okay. We got to laugh about it. But I'm telling you, folks, there is no bigger topic and issue in your life, in my life, and in our lives that we've been lied to about more than money. Now, again, you're smart people. You've seen through some of the lies already. Like, you know, because you're smart people, you know money can't physically buy happiness. You know that, which TJ always says, it can't buy happiness, but you've never seen anybody frowning on a jet ski. That's what TJ always says. I'm like, oh, it's funny. Although one time TJ had to ride a jet ski from Bird Island all the way back home, he frowned. He said, I found it. I found the point. 15 minutes on a jet ski after that, it's not fun, too much. I'm like, oh, you proved my point. But we understand, right, that you can't actually go out and buy happy because you buy things, and we all know things don't ultimately make us happy. You get that. I know that. Things break. If you have kids, your kids break things. Because we've all experienced it. You got the house, you got the car, you got the things. You think it's going to make you happy. Then it gets a ding, and you realize it's not that great, and it's not whatever, and so you have to go buy more things. And so we all understand, right, money can't buy things. Money can't buy happiness. But there's a deeper lie that I do believe many of us still fall for. And it's the lie that money, even though it can't buy things, we allow ourselves to believe that money can buy happiness because money can buy peace. We believe that money can buy safety, that money can buy security. In other words, we think that more money equals less worry. And that's great because less worry equals more happy. And I know some of you are looking at that and you're like, well, yeah, I believe that because it's true. But is it really? Is it really true? Yes, there may be times that, you know, you get a raise, you get a bonus, something happens, and for a split moment, a split second, you feel better, and you feel safer, and then you start spending more, and then you need more to feel better and to feel safer. See, I'm not saying that just because it's something I've experienced in my life, and I have. I'm not just saying it because it's something I've seen other people's experience in their life, because they have. I'm saying it because it's a warning that we get directly from God himself. God tells us through this guy named Paul that, hey, this is a trick. Hey, this is a trap. Hey, pay attention. This is a really, really big problem. This is really, really dangerous, and you're going to fall for this, and it's going to be sold to you. So I'm pleading with you, hey, if you want better, if you want a great life, if you want your happiness, please, whatever you do, don't believe the lie that money can buy peace, because it can't. And it's not an innocent lie. It's not a mistake. It's a trap that's being laid for you by an enemy who hates your guts. But luckily for us, there is a way out. There is a path to better. So what I want to do today is very simple. I want to turn to two guys that we talk about a ton here at Wellspring. I want to turn to a guy named Paul, and I want to turn to a guy named Jesus. Combined, they pretty much tell the story of the New Testament. You've heard of Jesus. Paul wrote about half of the New Testament. Paul had his life changed by Jesus. Paul became an early pastor and church leader. Paul wrote letters to churches to give them instructions on how to be Christians. We believe that God was speaking through Paul when he wrote those letters, which means God was speaking to us through those letters, and we can read those letters, and we know what God wants us to do in our life. And Paul used to write letters to churches. He would write letters to people, and he wrote a letter to a guy named Timothy, one of his proteges, and he gave Timothy a warning. And in that warning, he warned us, hey, whatever you do, don't fall for the myth. Don't fall for the lie that money can buy peace. Don't fall for the lie that money can buy happiness. That is a trap. And then Jesus explains what we should do instead. So if you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6, where we're going to be, 1 Timothy chapter 6, because here's what Paul says to Timothy and to us about, hey, I know you think that money can solve your problems. I know you think the money can provide some security. I know you think the money can make you feel better. I'm just telling you, be aware, that is a trap. Here's what he says, starting in verse 9. He says, people who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. Now, maybe you grew up in church, maybe you've heard this verse before, and you've always kind of dismissed it because you've always said, oh, I don't want to be rich. I don't know how you define rich in your head, but that's what you say. Oh, I don't want to be rich. I just want to have enough money to not worry about anything for the rest of my life. How do you define rich if that's not it? You define rich by how close you live to the ocean? I don't know, but ultimately, that's what Paul is saying. People who long to be rich, people who long for the day when they have enough money to not worry, enough money to do whatever they want. People who believe that they can get enough money to provide peace and security and safety and satisfaction. He says, hey, just be careful, because people who long to do that, they fall into temptation and they are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires. Now, what's the trick? What's the trap? Well, trap number one is the whole thing is a myth. Because let me ask you a question. Don't answer it out loud. Don't raise your hands. Don't write it down. But just think about it, because this is what Paul's really saying. Paul's saying, hey, you really think you can get enough money to feel safe? You really think that's a good goal to have enough money, and if I get enough money, I'll feel safe? Then Paul would ask you this question. Well, let me know. How much money is enough money? How much is enough? How much is enough? Because if money can buy safety and security and peace, if that's really true, there's got to be a price on it. There's got to be a price tag. So what's the price tag? What's the amount? How many deals? How many procedures? How many closings? What's the number? And nobody can answer the question, because do you know why? You know why it's a trick? You know why it's a trap? Because the answer is the same for everyone. The answer is more money. How much is enough money? More money. How much is enough? Oh, more. You know how I know this is true? Now, again, some of you, you're still teenagers, and you just have to take my word for this. Some of you are still in college, and you're living this. But most of us, you know, we're at a stage of our life where, you know, we're out of the house. You're probably not eating ramen noodles daily, maybe just weekly. You know what I mean? Most of us in this room right now are making a dollar amount that if you'd have told us in high school, this is how much money you will make, you would have immediately gone to your parents and said, I'm out, I quit, I know everything, because I just found out how much I'm going to make in 20 years. That's all the money in the world. And now you look at that and you're like, I don't know how we're going to make it. I need more. And again, you're not silly. You're not, you know, missing something. Paul is just not giving his opinion. Paul is stating an absolute fact and principle from the God of the universe. Let's look at it again. He's saying people who long to be rich fall into temptation. He doesn't say might fall. He doesn't say could fall. He doesn't say probably will fall. He says it will happen. They will fall into temptation and they will be trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. Folks, we live in Myrtle Beach. Do I really need to talk about foolish things people do with money? Foolish things people do to pursue money. Crazy get rich quick schemes. Man, it'll all work out. We're going to do this thing. Yeah. Like we have seen this. We've seen this, you've seen this, I've seen this, maybe you've experienced this, I don't know, but it's a reality, and every time we do it, we want to look for all the different problems and say, well, they did this wrong, or they did this wrong. No, nothing went wrong. The person who laid the trap, it worked perfectly. Exactly what was supposed to happen happened. And the person who was warning you of it says, that's exactly what I told you would happen. Don't be confused. Understand. If you go through life believing that if I work hard enough and if I save enough, if I close enough deals and if I do this and I do that, I will make enough money, and at one point I will be able to say, ah, I am satisfied, I have done it. If you live that way, you are destined for a trap. That is what Paul is saying. And the reason it's a trap is because of what it reveals about what's going on in your heart and my heart and our hearts when we believe these things. That's what Paul says next. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people, craving money, have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. And again, people get hung up on this word love, love of money. I'm not saying you have romantic feelings about money. I'm not saying you take it on dates. I'm not saying that at all. But how else do you describe something externally that you look to, that you put your hope in to provide peace and joy and satisfaction and happiness in your life? I mean, objectively, if you and we and me, we're all of us, really believe that more money equals less worry, and that less worry is going to equal more happy. If we believe this external thing, money, can ease our worry, can give us peace, can make us happier, that means we have placed our hope in something external. We've placed our hope in money. That means we love it. That means we revolve our lives around it. It means we make decisions in an effort to get it. It means we exclude things from our life that stop us from getting it. That's what you do for something that you love. And let me go even further. That's how we were created. That's what we were designed to do. We were designed to understand that the source of joy and peace and satisfaction was external. It was not into all due respect to Miss Whitney Houston. The greatest love is not inside of you. We were designed to understand, oh, yeah, I'm going to get my source of hope and my source of peace and my source of joy externally. And it was supposed to be through God. And Satan is like, watch this. I'm going to take that desire and I'm going to make him put it in something that'll never work. It'll be great. I'm going to ruin their life. You won't believe the crazy things that they're going to do in pursuit of paper, in pursuit of this thing, which is, sure, it's nice to have, but I've convinced them that it's a god. This is the best. And we let him trick us over and over and over again. And Paul says, hey guys, you don't have to do that. There's so much better than that. And to get to better, I want to turn to Jesus. Because Jesus is always the answer when we're looking for better. You know that? He's always the answer. And Jesus was always talking about money when he was on earth. In fact, there's a preacher stat that it's true. He talked about money more than heaven and hell and prayer combined. Do you know that? You know why he talked about money so much? Because he knew what Satan was going to do. Because he knew it was this thing that Satan was going to sell us and convince us could give us peace and joy and satisfaction and make us happy. And he knew who Satan was and what Satan was doing. He was trying to trick us and trap us. And as we said last week, Jesus came to set us free and to protect us from those things. And in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus tells us how to do it. So if you have your Bibles, turn back to Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 19. Here's what Jesus says, and he begins by acknowledging something we all understand. He says, don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. He says, hey, store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in. And still, he's just saying, guys, you know this. You know this. Invest in things that'll last. And that's just a principle everybody understands in life. Any investment you're going to make financially, any investment you're going to make with your time, any investment you're going to make with your energy, you want to invest in something that's going to last. You want your investment to outlive you. You want it to move on. If it's financial or if it's time or if it's lessons you've passed down, you want that to matter. And Jesus is saying, well, it's very simple. Then invest in things that are going to last. Invest in things that are going to matter. And he says, it's a really big deal what you decide to invest in right now, though, because you've got to make a choice. It's a big deal what you decide to invest in, where you decide to put your hope, where you decide to put your time, where you decide to put your treasure. That matters because wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Wherever your treasure is, wherever your hope is, whatever it is that you've decided in your heart is going to make you happy. Whatever it is you've decided in your heart is going to give you peace. Whatever that is, Jesus is saying, hey, just be careful. Because wherever you put your hope, the desires of your heart are going to follow. Wherever you put your hope, your wants are going to follow. And how many of you know that your actions follow your wants? So what he's saying is, look, if you put your hope in money, is what Paul would say, and you really think that's going to make everything better, then the desires of your heart are going to be to get more money. And then your actions are going to follow that. And you're going to do whatever it takes to get more money. And you're going to make some decisions that you wouldn't normally made in the effort to get more money. And you may make some moral decisions that you normally wouldn't have made. And you're going to excuse some things. And you're going to rationalize some things in your head because you are chasing your treasure. You're chasing your treasure. And sometimes you make sacrifices to chase your treasure. You know this. Many of you are incredibly successful people. You had to make sacrifices to get there. Many of you are incredible athletes. You had to make sacrifices to get there because you had a treasure. You had a goal. And that's not a negative thing. You saw where you wanted to go, so other things had to go away in an effort for you to get that. Jesus is saying, hey, look, it's really simple. Just understand, if your treasure is money, just like Paul's saying, you're going to push some of the things aside. And Jesus isn't saying you shouldn't push things aside. He's just saying, make sure the thing driving your choices is worth it. Make sure the thing driving your choices really is as valuable as you think it is. Make sure as you are going through life, sacrificing things in pursuit of a goal, make sure you aren't working in service of a con man. And Jesus is saying, make the choice now. That's what he says a few verses later. He says, look, no one can serve two masters, for you will love one and hate the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. I love that translation. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money at the same time. He's saying, hey, guys, look, you've got to make a choice. Now, I've read the New Testament cover to cover. This is one of the few times, maybe the only time, Jesus actually elevates a thing and says, you got to pick God or this. You have to make a conscious decision. And I think it's because he knows the power of money. He knows the power of the promise money can make. He knows the power of the lie we've been told that money can buy peace, which is why the very next line he says goes straight to the heart of that issue. He doesn't say don't chase money because it makes you materialistic. He knows you're better than that. He knows those things don't drive you. He knows that's not what's happening. He knows you've been sold a bill of goods. You've been sold this idea that money can give you peace. So he says, hey, pick one, serve one. You can follow me. You can be slaved to money. But I know why you think you're chasing money. And you don't have to. You don't have to tie your hope to money. You can tie your hope to me. That's what Jesus says. Very next verse. This is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? He's like, no. I want you to live a worry-free life. That's how I designed you. But you're going to live a worry-free life, Jesus would say, because I said so. And because I bought it for you. You're not going to gain a worry-free life because you're going to work hard enough not to worry. You're not going to live a worry-free life because you're going to make enough money not to worry. That's not the way this works. I didn't come to set you free so that you could help yourself. I came to set you free so that I could walk with you, so that I could hold your hand, and so that I could give you a better life. You don't have to go off and do it on your own now. You don't worry. You have peace because I say you have peace. And I'm the God of the universe. And I died on the cross for your sins, and I came back to life. And I'm standing here in all my power and glory saying, you don't have to worry. That's why you don't worry, not because of what's in your bank account. And he says, I know that's going to be hard for you, so let me give you some pictures. Let me give you some pictures to try to help you understand what I've done for you. Here's what he says. He says, look at the birds. He says, they don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. They don't plant or harvest. They don't invest. They don't have a 401k. They don't have a savings plan. They don't have dual streams of income. You know, they're not doing that. But your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? He's saying, just think about this. Look at the birds. Just look around. Just look around. They don't plan. They don't do any of the things that you think you have to do. And look how much God takes care of them. And you, on the other hand, you go around, you worry about everything, you freak out, you try to figure it out on your own, you fall for this myth, you fall for the lie that more money is going to equal less worry. And what Jesus is saying is more money equals less worry. The birds have no money, and they have no worry. And they're birds. How much more do you think your heavenly Father loves you than birds? Now, see, I love that Jesus used birds. I think he used it for a couple reasons. Number one, because birds are everywhere. Literally everywhere. So when Jesus is saying, hey, don't worry about money, look at the birds, he's saying, think about it, 24/7, 365, because they're everywhere. And look at birds. This is not an excuse to be lazy. This is not an excuse not to work hard. Birds work hard. You ever seen a bird build a nest? It's really fascinating to watch. But they work hard. They're out. They're moving. They're going. They're doing stuff. If you read the totality of the New Testament, it is very clear that as a Christian, someone who is pursuing God with their life, we are to be hard workers. We are to achieve. We should be the best in any field we are in. We should be the top. We should do everything we do for the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is important to do that. And so that doesn't mean you shouldn't be at the best of your job, the best of your field. It doesn't mean you shouldn't make a ton of money. God bless you. Make a ton of money. There is absolutely nothing wrong with that whatsoever. All Jesus is saying is you gotta be set free from this idea that more money is going to equal less worry. Look at the birds. They have no money. And they have no worry. But he knows you're not convinced yet, and so he gives another picture. He says this. He says, and why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. He talks about flowers, birds and flowers everywhere. Birds and flowers. He says, they don't work. They don't make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. Again, he's just giving some pictures. He's saying, hey, you've got it in your mind that you've got to do this certain thing. You've got to perform a certain way. You've got to make enough money. Or maybe you think, you know, you've got to obey the certain way. You've got to serve a certain way. You've got to do enough things to ease your worry, to ease these things. And he's saying, look at the bird. Look at the flowers. They get along just fine with no worry at all. In verse 30, he says, and if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. So why do you have so little faith? Why is it so hard for you to believe this? Why is it so hard for you to trust this? And it's a rhetorical question because he knows why it's so hard. It's so hard because you have been lied to every day of your life. It's so hard, and it was so bad that he had to come to earth to set you free. He had to come to earth to rescue you. And he came to earth with this offer and this promise. So don't worry about these things. Don't worry about any of the things you worry about when it comes to money and security and safety. Don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your Heavenly Father already knows all your needs. He's saying, you're living like you don't have a Savior. You're living like you don't have a guide. You're living like you don't have someone who wants to hold your hand and walk you through life. And I'm telling you, you do. And you can trust me. Now just pause for a minute. Just pause. Because I know some of you don't believe in God at all. You're here just checking it out. I understand that. So let's just pause for a second, okay? Let's just do a mental exercise. Just pause for a second. Just imagine with me, what if that's true? Just imagine. What if that's real? What if the all-loving, all-knowing, all-powerful God of the universe really is reaching his hand out to you right now, saying, I want to make you a promise. You hold my hand. You trust me. You let me walk through life with you. Not only am I going to help avoid some of these landmines of guilt, shame, pain, and regret, that worry, that anxiety, that ache you have about the future, I'm going to handle it. I'm going to look you right now in the eyes and I'm going to say, you never have to worry one day for the rest of your life about yourself, about your family, about the provisions that's coming. You never have to worry because I say so. Now again, I'm not saying believe it yet, but I'm just asking. Just imagine if that's true. Wouldn't that be better? Wouldn't it be better to wake up every morning and to go to bed every night? I agree. Go to bed every night. Getting an amen by the Blue Angels, I think. To go to bed every night knowing when you search in your hand, when you're searching for that peace, when you're searching to settle your soul, and right now it goes to the bank account. And it goes to those deals coming. And it goes to what could happen. What if instead your soul could find satisfaction in your Savior, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you could truly have peace. Wouldn't that be better? And what if I were to tell you that is exactly what Jesus offers? And that is exactly why he came. And he very clearly tells us how to achieve it in these words. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. No qualifications there. You know what Jesus is saying? He's saying the pursuit of holiness is the path to happiness. He's saying, you can trust me. You can follow me. Lean in. Because I want to make it better. And specifically today, we're talking about money. And we're talking about the trip and the trap that's been laid for us, that more money equals less worry. It's not true. But Jesus says you can have something better. You can have something better than that, something I came to give you. You don't need more money to equal less worry. You need more Jesus to equal less worry. You just need more of me in your life. You need to trust me. You need to follow me. And you need to step where I tell you to step. And when it comes to money, since the beginning of time, basically, God has given us an incredibly clear, incredibly rational step to take to make sure our hope never migrates from our Savior, never migrates from the giver to the gift he gives. That it never migrates from him to money. Because that is what Satan is constantly trying to get us to do. To take our eye off of Jesus and put it on the stuff that Jesus provides and put our hope in that. Because if we can put our hope in that, he can destroy our life. And so pretty much from the beginning of time, God has given his people a step. A step of obedience that they can take to ensure that their heart stays locked in on their Savior. And now there's stuff. We talk about that step all the time here at Wellspring because it's a very important step. And that step, for those of you who don't know, that step is tithing. Now again, you may not know what tithing is, so let me explain. Tithing is the practice of returning the first 10% of your income back to God through your local church. Basically what that means is when you get paid, when you close a deal, whenever you sell something, when you make money, when you have income, tithing is before you save that money, before you spend that money, the very first thing you do is you take the first 10% of it and you take it back and you give it back to God as a thank you for what he's done. Now, why would we do that? Well, because Jesus says you can't serve both God and money. Jesus says your heart will follow your treasure. So it makes logical sense that from the beginning of time, God has instituted this sacred practice of anytime you get money, anytime you get this thing that Jesus says, hey, this is going to compete with your heart more than anything else because you can't serve God and be enslaved to money. They're going to fight all the time, so you have to make a choice. What better way to make that choice than every single time money comes into your life, every single time it happens, every single time you could possibly be tempted to let your hope migrate, that the very first thing you do with it, before that hope can even migrate, is say, nope, first 10% back to God. Here, God, it's all yours. Thank you. My eye is on you. It's amazing. It literally ensures that your heart never migrates. It ensures you never have to worry about what Paul talks about falling into traps of chasing money. You never have to worry about it because Jesus says you can't serve both. So if you have decided in your heart and you have decided in practice to give back to God what it is, to tithe, you have decided, you have settled in your soul, he's in charge, and I'm not. It's literally the bottom line we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks. The pursuit of holiness is the path to happiness. Because here's the cool thing about a tithe. You can be perfect in a tithe. I will never love my wife perfectly. I will never forgive perfectly. I won't ever preach perfectly. I won't ever behave perfectly. I can be perfect in my obedience to God on this issue, which means I can perfectly protect my heart from the trap that Satan is laying for it. Now, I know most people don't do this, and most people don't want to do this. Maybe they don't want to do it just because they don't want to do it. Or maybe they don't want to do it for theological reasons. Or maybe they don't want to do it because they don't trust God. I don't know. But I know it's one of the few times in life that God in Scripture, when he talks about tithing, he says, test me in this. Try me. And so as a church, we take him up on his offer. And so we always offer something as a church that we call the 3-month tithe challenge. And it's very simple. You sign up with our church. You tithe for 3 months. And at the end of 3 months, if you feel like God let you down, if you don't feel more peace, if you don't feel like it worked, however you want to define it, you let us know and we'll give your money back. It's really that simple. Because we want it to be easy to trust God in this because it's a life-changing trust. And today you can sign up for the tithe challenge. You can sign up on your connection card. Today you can actually, we're all fancy now, you can text the word Wellspring to 57682. And we'll send you information about how to sign up for the tithe challenge. Because guys, I'm not kidding. This is one of those pivotal moments in your life and in your walk with God. Because we truly do believe that the pursuit of holiness is the path to happiness. We truly do believe that money is going to be one of the primary obstacles. And the way you view money and the way you put your trust in money is going to be a primary obstacle. And so we want to make it easy for you to take that off the table, to choose to pursue God, to choose to pursue holy, and to begin to experience what it feels like to be set free from this idea that money can give you peace and security. Your money, your peace and security comes from the giver of your money, from the God of the universe. And when we tithe, when we bring it back to him, it keeps us locked in on him. And so I believe every person in this room who doesn't already should sign up, should take the 3-month tithe challenge, and God will change your life. I was reading an email last week about a couple who sat right where you sat and didn't believe it, and they tried it. And you'll never believe this. She emailed me to say thank you for teaching on tithing. I framed that joker. Because let's be honest. Hey, well, let's be honest. We're almost done. Elephant in the room here. It gets tense when I bring up this topic. I understand that. It's one of the few topics where it always baffles me because, you know, I'll preach on parenting. I'll preach on marriage. I'll preach on forgiving. Oh, pastor. Oh, that was so great. Oh, you were just talking right to me. Right to me. I preach on money. He is a greedy liar. Greedy, greedy liar. It's fascinating. But I anticipated it. And so we decided to even take that off the table today. Off the table. If you truly believe I am a greedy liar, if you believe that we teach on giving and we teach on tithing and we teach on these things in an effort just to get your money, again, we're going to take that argument off the table. Give your money to another church. Don't tithe here. Tithe to another church. And I know I've said that before, so I decided to take it even further, okay? Tithe to beachchurch.org/give. That's their giving website. You can go on your phone right now and give there. Christ United, which is right here, christlove.org/about-us/give-online, or newspring.cc/give. I picked the 3 closest. When word gets out that I did this, every pastor in town is going to be sending me their way. Hey, tell them, say me next time. Tell them to give here. But hey, leave that up. Leave that up. Don't take that down. Leave that up. Because I'm not kidding. This isn't about me, and it never is, but all I can do is sit up here and tell you what God wants for your life and tell you that it's better. I can try to outwit Satan and take away some of his attacks. And so if his attack on you right now is that I'm just in this for the money, give it there. Done. Settled, right? Can't be about me. Can't even be about them because I don't know if they're preaching about money today or not. I don't know. Guys, it's not about your money. I don't need your money. And let me help you. God doesn't need your money either. It's all his. He wants your heart. He wants to set you free. Because you know what? We are right about one thing. We are right about the fact that less worry is going to equal more happy. We're right about that. We are right about that. But the way we get there is the way we will achieve every ounce of true happiness we'll ever have in our life. It's the pursuit of holiness. That's the path to happiness. So I'm going to pray for you. And we're going to sing another song, and I want you to know I love you with all my heart. And every word I've spoken today is out of love and wanting the best for you. Better is possible. Peace is possible. Satisfaction is possible. Today can be the day you no longer fall for the lie, you no longer fall for the myth, you no longer fall for the trap. Today can be the day you take God's hand and say, when it comes to money, Jesus, I trust you, and I want you to set me free. As we close, we're going to have folks down front who would love to pray with you, talk about this issue or anything else. As we sing, I just ask you to ask God, what's your next step? Where's your hope? And what step you need to take to move it from anywhere it is to where it belongs, which is in your Savior. Let's pray. God, we love you so much. Father, we thank you for your clarity. We thank you for your peace and patience and kindness and goodness. God, I pray for every heart in this room. Lord, I pray you will set us free from Satan's claws. You will set us free from the fear and the doubt and the anger we have. That you will set us free to pursue you. That you will set our hearts free. That you will allow our focus to come back to where it belongs. That we will place our hope in you. That we will see you as the source of joy and the source of peace. And Father, that we will give you control of every area of our life. As we pursue you, as we pursue holiness on our path to happiness. So in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.